And welcome back to Coast with Dr. David Hanscom with us as we talk about his work, Back in Control. I don't know how many of you have had pain issues, but I got to tell you, lots of people are calling the program right now and they need some help. So we'll be back in a moment with more calls on Coast to Coast AM. Welcome back, David Hanscom with us. Doctor, what has been for you in this field one of the most fulfilling things you've accomplished so far?
Well, this has been it. I've done a lot of major spine surgery. Of course, it's incredibly gratifying to take somebody who's in real, well, first of all the pain is real, but you know, to be able to surgically take somebody and transform their lives within a day has just been incredibly rewarding. But the fun part of this is that we've seen people's careers come back. I saw a guy today who started his own company. We have people get remarried, families come back together. So it's just their lives not only get back to normal, they become rich because, again, not only the pain is gone, the anxiety is down, which allows creativity to come back in their lives, and they just come in so excited. So I come out of my I actually give a lecture. I gave it at Mayo Clinic a couple of years ago on enjoying the management of chronic pain. It's by far and away the most enjoyable part of my practice.
Well, good for you. I mean, how many people are like you out there, David? How many doctors are doing this?
Well, not that many. And again, I don't want to. In their defense, we're just not trained this way. I really would not be doing this if I had not gone through my own experience. So, there's slowly. We have about 10 of us in Seattle now that are doing the same program with the same results. You'll see from the book that it's not magic. They're just basic principles. And the book provides just a framework to organize a complex topic into doable parts. So as you take charge of your own care, it's a very, very consistent process.
Well, indeed it is. Okay, let's take some calls. They're lining up for you, David, like crazy here. So let's go and give some folks some help. Jim in Colorado Springs, Colorado. Go ahead, Jim. You're up with us.
George, for taking my call.
Doctor, sure thing, sir.
Asked, my wife and I were praying tonight for some help. I'm a paralyzed vet in a power chair, but I want to talk about my wife first. She has a disease called ankylosing spondylitis, which is an HLA-B27 genetic disease, which is in her muscles, connective tissue. She's in chronic pain, been as high as 600, 1,000, 1,200 units of oxycodone a day. Has conchondritis right now between her ribs. We were in the hospital last week because she was in bradycardia, tachycardia, because of the ribs, I guess, so inflamed. We weaned ourselves off of morphine and oxycodone in the last 3 weeks, and now we seem like we're sicker than we were. We've started trying to take some minerals and baths and Epsom salts, and I just called a biologist today to see if they could give us some help. But mine is post-polio, and then I just more like to hear about my wife, if you could help. Thank you, sir.
Well, ankylosing spondylitis is it's uncommon in females, but certainly occurs. It's more common in young males. The entire spine becomes inflamed, and the spine basically welds itself together over time. So you become a very stiff spine. And so you not only have pain issues, you have mobility issues, which also is incredibly frustrating. And again, the same principles apply. I mean, there's certainly some limitations with ankylosing spondylitis that you don't have with other spines. But certainly, again, you can still probably drop the pain down by half to two-thirds, certainly cope with it better. And I'm just guessing sleep is probably not a great thing. So again, we always start with sleep, which almost always requires medications to start. Usually within 3 to 6 months, wise the sleeping medications can be waned. But people in chronic pain don't sleep, and then they don't sleep and they have more pain, so you get a horrible cycle going. So I really do state that the first thing is sleep. The second thing is inflammation. I'm sure there's some anti-inflammatories that she's tried that haven't worked. Some do work, again, just part of the solution. But again, the thing about chronic pain is never one answer. So I say, look, you have to address every aspect at the same time. So sleep could be 20-25%, stress could be 30%, the inflammatory diet, for instance, could be another 10-15%, acupuncture could add in another 10%. So you start adding these up, then you have a shot at getting better. Then at some point for many people, they actually flip into a pain-free state. So in general, we're looking for relatively pain-free, not just managing the pain. Again, I say with ankylosing spondylitis, there's an ongoing inflammatory process, which can burn out, but also, you know, it's a tough situation. But you definitely can improve the quality of life a fair amount. And again, I'm not trying to oversimplify it. But I do think there's some answers for you there if you just look at this over an organized manner.
David, when a surgeon performs surgery on the spine, what are they trying to do? Relieve nerve pressure? What's the goal?
Well, I always tell my patients that the main thing is trying to relieve pressure on pinched nerves that cause either arm pain or sciatica. That surgery works probably 90 to 95% of the time. When people start doing, so I always tell my patients, whether I'm doing just a simple laminectomy or a fusion, I am not going to help your back pain. Back surgery does not help back pain, period, end of story. There's about a 25% placebo effect. So people say, look, I had the surgery, I'm great. And that's good. I'm delighted that happens, but it doesn't happen often enough to warrant the risk of that operation. So with back pain surgery, it just doesn't work.
No, it does not. Next call, we go. Jacksonville, Florida, Greg's turn on Coast to Coast. Greg, you're up with us now. Go ahead, sir.
Good morning, gentlemen. Good morning, world.
Hey, Greg.
For over 30 years, I've had chronic back pain. I mean, I lost my pilot's license, and it got to the point where my legs would quit working. I mean, I'd literally be walking and just fall down. So I went and seen many doctors over the years. They've all said, fusion, fusion, fusion. Each right. time they said that, I hobble out of the doctor's office.
Right.
Last January, I went to St. Vincent's down here to a good German doctor, Dr. Sternberger, and he went in through my back with his little Dremel tools or whatever and routed out, you know, around the nerves and all that stuff. And before he even told me, I knew this was only a temporary fix. Now, before it goes any further, is stem cell, anything like that, is that a viable option? Because, you know, if I got to go to a wheelchair, I got a 357 that'll take care of that.
Well, we don't know about stem cells. I mean, right now it's not an option. There's been some promising research. I mean, there's billions of dollars being spent on this right now, but right now it's not an option. But again, it doesn't have to be. And so we used to think if the back pain lasted more than 18 months, that probably you had pain the rest of your life. I have one woman I saw this week who has had 55 years of chronic back pain. She's fine. She's absolutely pain-free. It took her about 6 months. So, again, this is a nervous system issue as much as a soft tissue issue. So we find out we have to deal with the physical therapy, the stretching, and the strengthening, but you also have to deal with the nervous system. These are permanent pathways. It's like riding a bicycle. You cannot get rid of these things. But you can shift into non-pain pathways, and at some tipping point, you shift more into the non-pain pathways than the pain pathways. So the term is called neuroplasticity. We actually stimulate the brain to form new nerve connections that don't have pain. And so it's remarkable how, I didn't used to think this myself, but people 30, 40, 50 years of chronic pain, bam, they're out of the pathways.
Well, when they're out of these pathways and they do this, does it ever come back if they minimize the pain, David? Does the chronic pain go away and stay away?
No. So this, my own experience is the same thing. I said, look, when people come in, they're excited, they're happy, they're pain-free. I said, look, you're going to fail. These are permanent pathways. So, for instance, in my own situation, if I quit doing these simple writing exercises, in about 2 or 3 weeks, my symptoms come back. So these are permanent pathways. And so I say, look, this is a process of learning how to fail. So you feel great, and something triggers you, go right back into the hole, just as severe or worse sometimes. But I remind them that they were out of the hole once, they'll get out of the hole again. What eventually happens is it's simply a learned skill where you go into the hole, you learn to come out, you go in less often, it's less severe, you don't stay in as long. So it's an ongoing day-to-day process. It's not hard, by the way. And the first step is awareness. In other words, you become aware of the trigger, you become aware you're in the hole. The problem with chronic pain is that you're in the hole, or I call it the abyss, for so long that you forget what it's like to live a normal life. So what turned out to be pretty miserable existence turns out to be sort of the norm. What's very enlightening to me now personally is that when I go into the hole, it's horrible. Then I realize I spent years in that situation where I didn't even know I was in the hole. And so, yeah, it's a matter of awareness, learning when you're in trouble and learning how to come out.
Jennifer's with us, Milford, Ohio. Hi, Jennifer. I hope you're okay, but what's up?
Yeah, I'm actually up with the pain right now. I don't really sleep very well. But I had blown out a disc so bad that I was literally paralyzed on my left side. And, you know, I've got severe nerve damage, chronic pain. I've had 2 back surgeries. I've had the fusion. My spine had broke down because it was at the level 3, how it starts breaking down, so it broke down the other ones. So I have to get 2 more back surgeries. I get to the point where, you know, like the other caller just a minute ago, my legs actually stop working. You know, they're both like paralyzed. I have dropped foot in my left foot, and I'm on Dilaudin, high, very, very high dosage. Talking about the getting the pain pump, the spinal cord stimulator did not work. It made it worse. But my question is, the last MRI that I had about 8 months ago showed, and the doctor had called it a fatty mass that was growing on my spine. And I now have the upper part, like in between your shoulder blades, and my right arm will go numb and my hand will draw up, just like how my legs and my feet draw up. So I'm to the point where I have no idea what to do. I've lived with this pain for a very long time, and it's just, it's at a level of, you know, you walk around at a level of 14, even though I'm on the high dosage of medication that I'm on. So I don't know, what are your thoughts with the fatty mass that's on there?
Well, here's the situation. I would strongly encourage you not to do more surgery for a couple reasons. So our criteria now for surgery has changed dramatically the last 2 years. It's supported by the medical literature is that you have to be sleeping for probably 3 months before you make any decisions because it affects your perception of pain. Secondly, your anxiety should be dropped down by at least 50%. Third of all, the medication should be stabilized. Fourth, you really should be engaged in a structured care project, whether it's my book or somebody else's book. People relate to different books a different way. So again, I need to emphasize, my book's a framework. You're not going to read my book and go to pain-free, but it does give you a framework to start making your own decisions. So we know statistically, if we do surgery in a nervous system as fired up as yours is, and rightfully so, that there's a high chance of making your pain even worse. I mean, I had 3 patients today, same thing. They had multiple surgeries. The gentleman came in this afternoon who had an operation done about a year ago, and he's just 3 times worse.
Jeez. And how do they walk in, David? Are they like shifting in and limping? How do they walk?
Oh, it's sort of bad. I mean, so I had one guy who had a couple of surgeries he didn't need about 5 years ago, and he's been over 45 degrees. He physically cannot stand up. He has a structural problem now.
45 degrees. Jeez.
Yeah, so I'm going to do 10 hours of surgery on him and straighten him back up. So again, my frustration is that I just wish I could have gotten to him 5 years ago before he had any surgery at all. So I just spent 15 hours with another woman trying to get her salvaged, and we lost 15 units of blood. So she just didn't need that first operation. But we just know statistically, we've known this for 50 years, that when you're anxious, not sleeping, your nervous system is fired up. When you traumatize the body with more surgery, there's a very high chance of making the pain worse. And again, remember that chronic pain lives in a different part of the brain than acute pain. It's a different animal.
All right, let's go next to Bob in Bay City, Michigan. Hey, Bob, thanks for holding so long. Go ahead.
Not a problem. Thank you.
Sure.
Now, I had a couple questions because my wife suffers from scoliosis. Her spine is an S-curve, not a hunch. At the worst point between her shoulder blades, it's, I believe, at a 47-degree angle.
Okay.
And it's progressively gotten worse over the years. And, her spine shifts on a semi-regular basis. A lot of doctors are pushing for her to get surgery, and
right.
You know, Some doctors say it would have been a lot more helpful if she would have had surgery when she was really young to straighten her spine. But the point is now is she's at the point where she's afraid to get surgery. She's afraid of, you know, the long recovery and the, you know, just the fact that she might never have the same use of her back as she has now.
Can you comment on that, David? His phone's a little muddy, so I don't know if you heard everything.
Right. No, I did hear that. I mean, scoliosis actually does not cause back pain. That's one of the biggest problems we're dealing with right now. And I'm a spinal skills. I'm actually a scoliosis surgeon. That's what I do, scoliosis and kyphosis, which means I do the major reconstructive type surgeries. And scoliosis does not cause back pain. And there's a huge attribution by surgeons that this is a cause of pain. When I go to my scoliosis research society meetings, which are international meetings, the biggest complaint I hear from surgeons is I do these huge operations and my patients still hurt. I have one woman who had been in a wheelchair for 10 years. She has scoliosis of 66 degrees. She came to me about 2 years ago on high-dose narcotics, pain pump, the whole thing, in an electric wheelchair since 2004. And to make a long story short, she's went through the process and she wasn't really engaging. So my colleague and I actually let her go, said, look, can't help you out. She walked in my office 6 months later, which is about a year ago now, and she's pain-free. She's no wheelchair, no pain, no narcotics, going back to school, lost 65 pounds, and you never knew she was sick a day in her life. So she still has a 66-degree scoliosis, no pain. Again, that's just one of many stories that we see like this.
Well, I'm telling you, you're doing a remarkable job for people. Are people coming to see you from all over? I know you're Seattle-based, but are they coming everywhere?
They do, absolutely. It's tricky for me because I'm a surgeon. So I now have a team of about six of us that actually do different phases of this. So my personal goal is that, well, a couple things. First of all, there's research out showing that doctors right now are ignoring clinical guidelines. Secondly, another article came out that's showing that actually that alternative medicine has a better success rate with chronic pain than traditional medicine. And modern medicine is not accepting this premise that a fired up nervous system can cause pain. So we're doing these massive, expensive procedures when the solution is so incredibly simple, it's unbelievable. So again, for me, being at the end of the line, so I do the most complex spine surgery that exists. I'm a Seattle senior spine surgeon. So it's very hard for me to watch the last 5 years where I've seen surgery just go absolutely out of control. Instead of doing one and two level fusions for back pain, which don't work, by the way, we're now doing 8, 10, 12, 15 level fusions for pain with a complication rate of over 75%. And it's horrible. I've got one guy who had 18 operations in 36 months, another guy 29 operations in 20 years.
29 operations?
Right.
Oh, my God. David, stay with us. We're going to come back and we'll chat more with you and then we'll take some final phone calls. Wow. Well, a couple of notes here. Beyond Belief is the rapidly growing internet-based television program set up for you. You can watch it on your flat screen as well. When you make that little technical shift, go to this website, beyondbelief.com, and sign up to watch the program for 10 days free, beyondbelief.com. And by the way, Richard Surrett, our dear friend from Toronto, ironically, will be filling in for me tomorrow while I fly to Toronto to get ready for our big Saturday event there at the Queen Elizabeth Theater. So I just want you to know about that. Lots going on in November in terms of the schedule. But we'll be live for you on Thanksgiving, so don't worry about that. Let's come back and take final phone calls in a moment on Coast to Coast AM. And welcome back to Coast, David Hanscom with us. David, stenosis of the spine, which is what, a shriveling up of the spine? Is that what happens?
No, it's just that the bones and ligaments grow together. And if you just visualize the narrow part of an hourglass, that's what happens. It just the spine squeezes on that column and just causes constriction or stenosis.
Okay, so When you have stenosis, and let's say you fall, I had a friend of mine who had stenosis, fell, and he's still paralyzed from the neck down, believe it or not. It's going to be 4 years on Thanksgiving.
Wow.
Did the stenosis contribute at all to that?
Yeah, it did. What happens if you have stenosis in the lumbar spine is different because in the low back, the spinal cord stops in your thoracic spine. In other words, in your lower back, is just nerve roots. In the neck, you have your spinal cord. So the spinal cord is already pre-constricted. In other words, the bones are probably touching the cord. And then when most people take a fall, there's enough space around the spinal cord that you don't get paralyzed. If you have stenosis and take a fall, then the chances of becoming paralyzed become much higher.
Okay, let's take the final calls. We have Gary in Oakland, California. Gary, you're up with us. Go ahead, sir.
Thank you very much, George and Dr. Hanscom. I have had chronic pain of one variety or another since I was 18. I'm 65 now, so that's like 47 years of being in a mess. And I've had mostly right now it's been arthritis, and I have bad back. And the thing that's the worst right now is I have acute sciatica. This is my second episode this year. Usually I have it every so often. The last time I had it was in early 2012, and I had cortisone shots. It lasted for about 2 years this past April. And then I had it came back again, and then it only lasted 6 months. And this is the worst case of it that I've had. I can barely walk like about 30 to 50 paces before I have to stop and rest. I have spasms. I feel like I have a sharp knife in my thigh and a dull knife in my back, lower back. And it's just, I just had shots 2 days ago, and I know it takes a while to take effect, but it's like I can barely breathe, and I can hardly walk.
Have you had a new MRI scan?
Yeah, I had an MRI scan 6 months ago. I went to a spine doctor and a couple other different neurologists and stuff, and they basically said I wasn't a candidate for surgery.
That's a very tough call. Here's a problem. So with back pain in general, surgery really does not work for back pain. With sciatica, there's often a bone spur that's sitting on the nerve root. When you find a bone spur and take it off, that's where surgery works very, very well. So I am not against surgery by any means if you have what I call a structural problem. That means I can see the bone spur and the symptoms match. Sciatica probably 70% of the time is a structural problem that actually is solvable with surgery. But a good 30% of the time, the leg can light up for reasons that are very unclear, and then that's not a surgical problem. So you have to actually see the spur to be surgical. So obviously, I can't really comment on your situation without seeing the scans. It's hard to comment. The epidurals can help some. They're usually temporary. I actually don't order a lot of epidurals because they're usually temporary. But if you're getting relief from them, I'm certainly not against them by any means. Without actually seeing your scans, it's sort of hard to comment on what's going on. But sciatica definitely is a different animal than back pain.
Where, David, do you think might be one of the best hospitals for back surgeries and back issues?
Well, I'm not going to say. I'm getting in trouble for this one, too. But I mean, a lot of major
you're already in trouble. When you wrote the book, you're in trouble.
Well, George, I don't know if you can tell the conversation tonight compared to about a year ago, but I'm sort of done with this thing. I mean, I'm so tired of seeing really horrible surgeries being done.
Yes,
so
I know.
The business and medicine, they're churning out the surgeries, and the data says you have to calm down anxiety before you do the surgery, right? So there's another research paper came out 2 months ago that showed that less than 10% of surgeons are actually assessing anxiety. So the data is right there. We know disc degeneration is normal as you age. It actually does not cause back pain, yet it is the most common reason for performing spine surgery. So we actually know it's not the cause of back pain, yet it's the most common reason for performing surgeries. I had one 35-year-old guy who, nice kid, 4 surgeries in 5 years, and he's a mess. He's 35 years old. So I saw another woman who had neck surgery 5 years ago. She has been nauseated for 5 years since that surgery. She did not need the surgery. So she's 55 years old, wonderful woman, family, the whole thing, 5 years of her life are gone. So I see this stuff every day now, and it's just not okay. It's just a disaster. So we're being pushed to do procedures. course, in the doctor's defense, where the patients want to be fixed, I get it, but it doesn't work. So almost every procedure we do for chronic pain actually doesn't work. But yeah, we're pushing these like crazy. So the people, so these poor patients are getting bounced and bounced and bounced and bounced, but nobody's solving the problem. So it's just a real mess. In my 30 years of doing spine surgery, I never ever dreamed I'd be seeing stuff like this. It's unbelievable.
It's got to be frustrating for you.
It's horrible. So I have made a decision about 6 months ago to be much clearer about this. Mainstream medicine is not buying this, which makes no sense to me. If your body's under an adrenaline rush, it's like driving your car down the freeway in third gear. So it's just a matter of time before your car starts to break down. And so it's not that hard. It's actually a fairly simple concept in medicine right now. It's just absolutely steadfastly refusing to acknowledge the problem. So it's very, very frustrating. And what's more frustrating, again, I'm seeing the worst surgery, worst outcomes, and I'm seeing incredibly simple tools solve the problem. So the divergence for me is just stunning.
Okay, let's go to Mike in Ten Sleep, Wyoming. Hey, Mike, thanks for calling. Go ahead.
Good morning, gentlemen. I was surprised I'd actually get through. I'm kind of a short time listener, but I've tried getting on a couple, three times. And
Good for you, Mike. Go ahead, Mike.
I've had lower back problems since 1986, and I've had seven lower back fusions.
Seven?
My whole lumbar spine is fused.
Right.
The pain is just still pretty excruciating. Up and down both legs, I can just sometimes just barely put any pressure against them. It causes them to hurt. And, I have the falling issues every now and again. But I just, at this point, I don't know where to go from here.
So are you open to learning about chronic pain?
Pardon me?
Are you open to learning about chronic pain?
Well, pretty much. I've been kind of studying on it for off and on over 7 years. Well, over the course of my pain problems. But
I would guess that's a yes, David.
Yeah, so here's the deal. I mean, I'm asking a sort of obvious question, but here's the deal. When people have been in chronic pain for so long, believe it or not, the biggest problem I'm having with this project is people actually don't want to learn about chronic pain. They actually won't read the book. They want to be fixed. They want another operation. So I'm actually asking a very serious question in that people actually want to hold on to their pain. I'm not saying you do. I don't know you at all, but probably over half the people I see that come to my practice say, look, here's a solution. And they want to hit me. They say, look, I want surgery. You're a surgeon. Fix me. And I go, look, it's not a fixable problem by me, but it's incredibly fixable by yourself. So the answer is it is a solvable problem, believe it or not. We've had people, again, with these, by the way, the person with 29 operations is finally doing fine. So he finally actually learned about chronic pain, started using the tools, and he's finally fine. But it wasn't surgery that solved the problem. So you have to be really honest with yourself. You've been in pain for so long. It's a familiar pattern. Believe it or not, probably at least half the patients I see really do not want to give up their pain. It's unbelievable.
God forbid if anything happened to me with chronic pain, David, I'm on my way to Seattle to have you take care of me.
I'll be happy to take care of you.
Let's go to John in St. Louis now. John, go ahead.
Hi, George. What a privilege it is to talk to you. I've tried to get on your show many times, and compliments to your guests of such knowledge.
Thank you. Thank you, John. I'm glad you got in here. Go ahead.
4 years ago, I was diagnosed with Parkinson's.
Okay.
I was devastated because I was an avid bike rider. I average about 1,400 miles a year riding a bike. I have muscle mass. I consider myself being in good shape. I went to the gym every other day, if some days, every day. And I noticed prior to the 4 years, I was slipping and coming up with shakes and forgetting things. and being tormented by confusion and disorientated. It got to the point to where I was so miserable, I went to a neurologist, and I sat in his office, and I said, I'm not leaving this office until I find out what's going on with me. And he said, you have Parkinson's. And I'm 56 years old, and I broke down and cried. And I said, can you please send in the other doctor, which was the head of the clinic? And he came in, and he did the same test, and he said, yep, you have Parkinson's. So that sent me on a quest. And basically what they said is, it's a progressive disease. Get used to it, hang on for the ride, and hope for the best. It'll get worse, and you just got to deal with it. Well, I was a type A personality before this, but since then, I only have one speed. And so what I started doing is researching everything I could. I'm pulling the library apart. People would suggest books to me, and I'd research the internet. And I come to the conclusion that the best thing that would work for me that made what was making sense was a holistic approach. And because nothing totally against conventional doctors, because they know it. They have contributed a lot to society through the years. But the holistic approach with conventional, with homeopathic medicine, there's a new wave of new fresh ideals that are working.
Well, what I'd recommend too for you, John, is because, you know, you're talking to a person who is into just about everything naturally, but I wouldn't rule out mainstream medicine in addition to using your holistic approach. I think if you use both, you'd probably be more successful. Parkinson's disease is a tough, tough disease to cure there, David.
Right. I mean, I would agree with George completely. I wouldn't necessarily categorize it into mainstream versus holistic. I've used way more holistic medicine than I ever thought I would. But I do think my partners do. My partner's a neurosurgeon, and for instance, some people have horrible movement disorders with Parkinson's, and it literally is a miracle what the deep brain stimulation can do for Parkinson's. Now, I also have a rehab doctor who's a friend of mine who has Parkinson's, who has been unbelievably successful being in the gym 5 days a week. So he's almost halted and reversed his Parkinson's in the gym. And again, the holistic tool is also incredibly helpful. So I would agree with George that I would just really not go into either camp, but really look at both of them very carefully.
Yeah, and you can use them both. There's a balance there.
Right.
There's no doubt about that. Let's take a few more calls here before we're out of time. We've got Dave in Cedar Lake, Indiana now. David, go ahead. Thanks for calling.
Thank you, George. I'm a first-time caller. Me and my wife listen to you all the time.
Well, thank you both.
Thank you for your service.
Sure thing.
As a vet, I'm a veteran myself. Doctor, my question for you is, I'm a law enforcement officer. I'm on the sheriff's department here in Northwest Indiana, and I hurt myself in the line of duty on 2-4 of this year. I slid down some steps coming out of a domestic. 8 years ago, I had fusions done in the front of my neck on C5 and 6. 2 years later, I was rear-ended and had to have C7 fused in the front as well. After this fall, on March 12th, I had to have fusion done in the back of my neck from C7 to C3. I still have chronic pain in the back left part of my neck, and I can only turn my neck 10 degrees to the left and 20 degrees to the right. I'm third generation law enforcement. I have numbness in both hands. I can't feel my hands I can take 100 steps with my right foot, and on the 101st step, I'll fall. I want to know if there's a way that I can be fixed. I'm only 48 years old. Wow. I love my career, and I want to be able to get back to it.
Okay, we just have a minute left, David. Go ahead.
Yeah, I just honestly probably cannot answer this one. The answer is, I honestly don't know. I mean, I don't know if you know.
What would you recommend that he do, though, or go, at least for help?
Right. I still try to calm down the nervous system. I would actually try working really hard in the weight room, try to get your neck working, stretching, strengthening, get range of motion back. So there's a lot of soft tissue work you can do. So you probably get probably 70% of your function back, again, by taking that multi-pronged approach.
What do you think of these little TENS machines, these little electronic gizmos?
Again, there's never one answer for chronic pain, so it can add 5 or 10%. So, I think it can help.
Yeah, they're available. They're cheap.
But it has to be the context of that structure. In other words, all my book does, it gives you a framework. It's not the solution. It's just a concept and a framework. So you start putting the parts in that are relevant to you. So, yeah, all these things can be helpful, acupuncture, chiropractic, the physical therapy. But there's just never one answer. That's the key concept here. There's always a combination of answers that works.
All right, my friend. David, be well. And thanks for helping everybody. I appreciate it.
Yeah, very much enjoyed the opportunity. Thank you.
And David's website, of course, linked up for you at coasttocoastam.com. And don't forget, Richard Surrett in for me on Friday while I fly off to Toronto for Dan Galante, Will Wilkerson, Tom Danheiser, Lisa Lyon, Lex Lonehood, Sean LaDesour, Stephanie Smith, Chris Boros, George Knapp, and Art Bell. I'm George Norrie, somewhere out there on Coast to Coast AM. We'll see you on our next edition. Until then, be safe, everyone.